The following is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
School hour, we're glad that you're here this morning. We're going to do things a little bit different today. Instead of singing a hymn, Brother Fry has written a little hymn or a chorus, and he's going to teach that to us in just a minute. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. He's going to teach us this chorus, and then he's going to go right into his message this morning. So let's bow our heads together and let's pray. Father, we are thankful today that we are here assembled in the house of God. We pray that you bless our Sunday school hour. We pray for those that are driving in for our morning service. We pray, Lord, that there might be some that are coming, have never heard the gospel, never known Jesus Christ as Savior, and we pray that today would be the day of salvation. Father, bless the ones that are here today already, the young ones, Lord, especially help them to sit and listen, behave in the house of God, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to teach this song. I think I might have said this Wednesday night, but I'll wait later. Say it. Never mind. This is Jesus, my Savior and Lord, and that's the first and the last line of the chorus, and then there's two lines in between, so I'm going to teach it to you real quick. Young people usually pick up really quick on this. It goes like this. Jesus, my Savior and Lord, you do I trust and adore. I long now to serve you, I'll never deserve you. Jesus, my Savior and Lord. All right, let's try that together. You ready? Jesus, my Savior and Lord, you do I trust and adore. You do I trust and adore. I long now to serve you. I long now to serve you. I'll never deserve you. Jesus, my Savior and Lord. Some of you are singing with your mouth closed, and I don't know how you're doing that. Unless you're a ventriloquist, of course. That's right. All right, let's try it again. Jesus, my Savior and Lord, you do I trust and adore. I long now to serve you. I'll never deserve you. Jesus, my Savior and Lord. Jesus, my Master and King, and honor and praises I sing. Search me and know me, try me and show me, Jesus, my Master and King. All together. Jesus, my Savior and I trust and adore. I long now to serve you. I'll never deserve you. Jesus, my Savior and Lord. I'll sing the last verse. Jesus, most high El Shaddai, giver, creator of life, keep and deliver me, Lord, draw me near to thee, Jesus, most high El Shaddai. All together. Jesus, my Savior and Lord, you do I trust and adore. I long now to serve you, I'll never deserve you, Jesus, my Savior and Lord. Jesus, my Savior and Lord. Well, you did well. Thank you very much for singing with me. I appreciate that. And if you'll open your Bibles this morning from Sunday school to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to try to watch the clock here best I can and make sure I don't go over time. And I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture, and we will pray. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 26 through 32. 26 through 32. The Holy Word of God says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good use of edifying, that may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." And I want to bring you a message this morning and talk about some choices that I made as a young man and how it hurt me until I got over it. And basically, the title of the message is The Battle of Bitterness. So let's pray and ask for God's help. Father God in heaven, I thank you for allowing me to be here for such a time as this in the Sunday school hour. And I pray that you would use this message in each and every heart and life. And Lord, I realize I can do nothing without you, so I'm asking for your help today. Lord, please use me and use this message to speak to hearts. And Father, if there's one here and they're bitter of heart, I pray that you'd help them before they leave to get that right with you. And Lord, I thank you again for this pastor, this church, and this church body and their goodness to me. I pray that you'll bless them for it. And Father, meet with us in a very special way. In Jesus' precious name we ask and pray. Amen. And amen. You know, we all struggle with forgiveness, and a lot of times the reason is there's a root of bitterness behind it. I heard a fellow say one time, and I don't remember what his name was, but he said, "You are free to make choices, but you are not free from the choices you make." Another fellow, Jim Wilson, said this: "Guilt is what we feel when we sin, but bitterness is what we feel when others sin against us." And some people say they're going to forgive and they're just going to bury the hatchet, but they leave the handle in and then they bury it over and over again, and they never truly biblically get over it. When I was a little boy, there were some things that happened to me that made me bitter in my heart towards my dad, and I want to tell you some things about that. And I want to try to be very careful. I don't want to dishonor my dad, but my dad and I, when we would get around each other, we were like magnets and we just rubbed each other the wrong way. And it was just a really rough time growing up early in some of those years. And so just to give you an example, I was the middle boy. If we have any middle children in here today, the middle child, you'll feel my pain. You know what I'm talking about. I was always in trouble. But here's the main thing, though. The reason that I got in so much trouble, it was not just because I was the middle child. It was just because I was not very bright. My dad would tell me to do one thing, and I would do the opposite. So I got in trouble a lot of times, and most of the time it was my fault. But every now and then, even when I wasn't doing wrong, I'd still get in trouble. It ever happened to anybody? There I was. And so here I am. I'm sitting in the bed. I'm reading a comic book. I'm minding my own business. I have a younger brother. I have an older brother. They were in the bathtub, and they're splashing and making all this noise and all this racket. And all of a sudden, the voice in the back bedroom, my dad, says, "Bruce, if I have to come in there, boy." And I'm thinking, I'm not doing anything this time. And so I just said, "Okay, Dad," because it was usually me anyway. And then the next thing I saw was two little wet heads sticking their heads in my door and saying, "Thank you, brother." And I said, "Don't worry about it." But when they left the room, the tears started coming down my face and the bitterness started going into my heart and the anger. And it just started to build and to build and to build. You know, it got so bad that later on in my life, the choice of not to deal with this bitterness in my heart, that I became an angry young teenager. I was mad at the world, mad at my family. I left home when I was 17 years old, and then my brother and I started playing music, and we had a bass player, and he left the band, and I got mad about that. And when he left the band, then my brother left the band, and there I was by myself. And when people would come up and ask me, banjo players, fiddle players, and other musicians, say, "Hey, can I play with you?" And I would say, "No. Nobody gets in this circle right here because nobody's ever going to hurt me again." I was so bitter. I was so angry. I had road rage. If somebody pulled out in front of me on the highway, they're going to hear the horn. The wind is going to come down. It was not a pleasant wave. I would scream. I would yell. I would curse. And I was so angry and so bitter, and had been carrying this since I was a little boy. And I want to sing you a song that I wrote about this because, you know, my father and I didn't even speak to each other for several years. And it really bothered me, to be honest with you. And so what I did, one day I was thinking, man, if something happens to me or something happens to my dad, one of us is going to feel really bad about that. And I didn't want it to be me. So I wrote a little letter, not really a letter, actually, it was just a paragraph. And I said, Dad, I don't expect a phone call. I don't expect a letter back. I don't expect anything from you. I just want you to know, Dad, before something happens to you or before something happens to me, that I love you. And I signed my name and I sent that letter to my dad. Obviously, my dad got that letter and he read it because the next time I saw him, he said hello to me. That's a big thing back then for my dad to say hello to me. And the next time I saw him, he said, why don't you come by the house and have some lunch with us sometime? And so things started getting better. Why? Because I took that first step to make things right with my dad. And there may be somebody in your life that you struggle with. And can I encourage you, if you have a hard time talking to them, to write them a letter and send it to them? Because I can tell you this, people will read a letter that they get sent. And so, long story short, my dad and I, everything got better, and we became best friends, and I love my dad. My dad is still living. I'm still praying for him to trust Christ as his Savior. I've been sharing the gospel with him, and I think he's very close. I believe with all my heart, God's going to save my dad. He's 84 years old. And so I was in Nashville, Tennessee. I was riding down the road, and I was thinking about this situation, how I wrote the letter and sent it, and how things got better, and it gave me an idea for a song, so I started writing it on a napkin, driving down the road, and then I got to my apartment and finished it. And I sang it for a friend of mine, and after they heard it, they said, wow, wouldn't it have been bad if the letter never got there and something would have happened to one of you? And so I changed the song around as if the letter never got there, and the dad died. And I remember the first time my father heard this song, he said, wow, you write a song about me and kill me off in it. What'd you do that for, boy? And I said, I'm sorry, Dad. I was just trying to make the song have a little more punch. So I want you to know my dad is still living, but I just changed the song around. And then after I got saved, I added the last verse to it. And it goes like this. If my dad was here today with me, you would have no problem knowing that he was my dad because we look just alike. And he has I don't know what you call it, a dog man or whatever. He likes to bird hunt, and he would go get his dogs from this guy and his dog food and his birds and things. And every time he would go there, he would go by himself. And one day I was at the house, and he was getting ready to leave. And I said, Dad, where are you going? He said, I'm going to see my dog man. And I said, I don't want to go with you. I want to meet this dog man you keep talking about. And so I went with him, and we got out of the truck, and that man looked at me, and he looked at my dad, and he looked at me, and he said, Sam, you're going to have to claim that puppy. He looks just like you. So they even talk in dog terms. Mama said that we were just alike in every way. And I favored him more with each passing day. It took years later and many tears to find the closest distance between us was his heart and mine. And I was a rebel, my heart filled with rage. And so I left my family at an early age. I was too young to know just what I had lost. A land to realize my stubbornness had caused. The love between a father and a son is not always given. Sometimes it must be earned. And even though it takes a while for some of us to learn, you can't deny the love between a father and a son. So I wrote a letter filled with things I couldn't say. I wanted him to know I cared before it was too late. My mailman came daily, but I chose to wait. He deserved to hear these words from me. face to face. And on a cold December morning, kneeling by his grave, and clutching this unopened letter, I'm wishing he could hear me say, the love between a father and a son was shown on Calvary's hill when God gave his begotten one. And if you put your trust in him, that's when you'll finally learn. You can't deny the love between a father and a son. You can't deny true love between the father and the son.
Well, this morning in Sunday school, I'd like to share you three problems as a result of bitterness. Three problems as a result of bitterness. And problem number one is this. If you have bitterness in your heart and you've never dealt with it biblically, you'll have no peace at all. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, the Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Secondly, not only no peace at all, but you get no prayers answered. No prayers answered. Psalm 66, 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That word regard, as I understand it in the Latin language, is spelled video. It's not pronounced like that. It's either widow or wedeo. I can't remember. It's been a long time ago, but it's spelled video. And what happens if there's somebody that has harmed you, or somebody that has said something to you, somebody that has caused you to have bitterness of heart? The moment you see that person, or the moment you think of their name, there's a video that replays in your mind, and then a fire that starts burning in your heart. And the Bible says in Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And I believe there's a lot of people that go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and they sing the songs of Zion, they pray prayers, and their prayers aren't even hitting the ceiling because they've got either bitterness in their heart or some other unconfessed sin, and God is not hearing their prayers because he's waiting for them to come and get that right with him. Now, the third thing is this. You get no peace at all. You get no prayers answered. And then thirdly, you give place to the devil. Look back at your Bibles here in Ephesians where it says, chapter 4, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now, that phrase, give place, is topos in the Greek. It means topography. It means to give ground. You know, the devil can't do anything to you unless you open the door and let him in. If you give him ground, you give him entrance. So if you have unconfessed sin in your life or the sin of bitterness in your heart, what you've done is you've opened the door and let him come in. It's like your life is a pizza pie. And you open and you give him a slice. And the devil doesn't just want a slice of your pie. He wants to eat the whole pie. He wants to eat your lunch because the devil hates you. And he doesn't want you to have that sweet fellowship with God. He wants you to be miserable. And so when you have bitterness in your heart and you don't deal with it biblically, then you open the door for Satan to come in to get a stronghold in your life. And James 4:17 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the Bible here says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. God does not want anybody going to bed with an angry spirit or problems with anybody. He wants you to get things right so you can have sweet fellowship with him and sweet fellowship with those around you. I'll give you an example of this. I'm married, and when I first got married, my wife and I were having a discussion. Let me just go ahead and be honest with you. It was an argument, okay? And so I was having a hard time with her, and we were in the living room, and I don't remember what it was about. It was a long time ago, but I remember I just got to the point. I said, forget it. I'm going to bed. And I just went to the bedroom. I got on my knees to pray, and guess what? I couldn't pray. And I don't hear voices. I don't hear bells ringing, but it was that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit was telling me, you need to go in there and apologize to your wife. And so I started having an argument with God. Have you ever argued with God? You're not going to win it, right? I'm sitting there going, no, God, she needs to come in here and apologize to me. It's her fault. She started this thing, and then all of a sudden I realized, man, I'm not going to be able to get any sleep. I'm not even going to be able to pray till I make this thing right with my wife. And so I went back into the living room, and I said, honey, what I said was wrong, the way I said it was wrong, and I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? Now, if I went in there to tell her that just so I could hear her say, no, it was my fault, then I went in with the wrong motive. My motive was to do what God told me to do. You see, when you get right with God, it's this way. When you get right with people, it's this way, and it always forms a cross, and all the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And if I remember correctly, we did get everything hashed out, and she admitted that she did some things. But that's not why I went in there, because I just wanted to do what God wanted me to do, because I knew that I wasn't going to have any peace. My prayers weren't going to be answered. And, you know, I was giving place to the devil. And so when I went back in there after that, I was able to pray, and I was able to go to bed and go to sleep. Hallelujah. It was great. But the Bible also says in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You know what? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, nothing's really going to bother you. But a lot of times I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit as much. I'm indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but I'm not always filled with it. D.L. Moody said the reason he would wake up in the morning and pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, he said, because I leak. How many of you leak? How many of you every now and then something happens and it just snaps you or something? I heard a story about Dr. Lee Robertson and Lester Roloff were in a car together driving somewhere, and Dr. Lee said something he thought might be a little off color, and he looked at Brother Roloff and he said, brother, he said, I'm so sorry. I would never say anything to offend you. Will you forgive me for that? And Brother Roloff looked at him and he said, you can't offend a dead man, brother. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be die to ourselves daily so things won't bother us. But you know, the bottom line is this. If you're here today and you have bitterness in your heart, you may be bitter at a person, but you know what you really are? You're really bitter at God. Because what you're saying is, God, you allowed this person to be mean to me, or you allowed this person to do something to me, and if you were a good God, you wouldn't allow to do that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given to us his Holy Spirit. I remember growing up as a little boy and some things that happened to me, and I'm not going to go into details about these things, but I remember as a young boy saying, God, I don't understand why, if you are such a good God, why would you let this happen to me? And then later on, after I got saved, I was at Shenandoah Boys Ranch in Cleveland, Tennessee, and I had sang a song that night and somebody else preached, and a 16-year-old boy walked up to me and he said, Brother Bruce, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And we went and sat down. He started telling me about his relationship with his dad and how they didn't get along, and it was one of the reasons he was there at this place is because they just had such a battle with one another. And as he was sharing his life story with me, I started reliving mine and my relationship with my dad. And I remember he started crying, and I started weeping with him, and then he just stopped, and he said, why am I telling you all this? He said, you have no idea how I feel. And I looked at that boy, and I said, son, I know exactly how you feel. He said, how could you know? So I told him some things that happened to me growing up as a young boy, and he looked at me, and he said, you do know how I feel, don't you? And I said, yes, I do. And I was able to minister to that young man that day. And after I left his presence, I'll never forget, I walked outside and I looked up to the stars of heaven and I said, God, always wondered why some of the things happened to me that happened to me when I was a kid. And I never really understood it. I said, but if he's the only boy I ever help, I said, thank you for allowing me to go through that, because I would have never been able to help him if I wouldn't have been able to. And so I thank the Lord for it. I was able to. You know, Jesus doesn't want retaliation. He wants restoration. But a lot of people, what they want vengeance. But the Bible says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. How do you know if you're really bitter or not? Some people say this, I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget it. They're still bitter. Or they'll say it like this: I'll forgive them, but I don't want anything to do with them anymore. Still bitter. Or they'll say it like this: I'll forgive them, but I don't want to ever see them again as long as I live. You know, bitterness is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. And Jesus, again, doesn't want retaliation. He wants restoration. 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And I could probably get you all to stand in a line, and one by one, I could whisper some things that happened to me when I was a kid into your ear, and you might agree with me. Yes, Bruce, you have a reason to be angry. You have a reason to be mad. You have a reason to be bitter. And I might get you to agree with me, but what am I going to say to Jesus Christ when it's his turn in the line? What am I going to say to him? Jesus, this is what they said. Oh, they mocked you. And this is what they did to. Oh, they beat you within an inch of your life. And no matter what has happened to me in this life is nothing compared to what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ on his way to the cross. So I wouldn't have a leg to stand on, and neither would you, right? True forgiveness really doesn't bring it up again. And Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an act of obedience, trusting him with the outcome. Look back at your Bibles in verse 31, and we're going to wrap this up. There's six steps in bitterness, and it starts with that. Bitterness, that's resentment when someone does you wrong. The next word we see in this verse is wrath. That's that whole slow, hot burn that starts on the inside. The next word that God uses is anger, and that's when it becomes open and outward. That comes on the outside. The next word he uses is the word clamor. That's when it gets vocal and loud and tears and shouting. And then the next phrase is evil speaking. Then you start saying things you really don't mean. You start slandering that person. And then it all ends up in malice. And when you get to this point in malice, if you don't deal with bitterness, this is where you will end up. When you get to this point, you'll want to hurt somebody or hurt yourself with your words, with your fist, or with a gun or something like that. And it happens all over the world. You know, when some of these people are killing these people and these rampant things that are happening, a lot of that problem is there's a root of bitterness in the heart that's never been taken care of. And it finally comes to a head. Mark Twain said this: forgiveness is the fragrance that the flower leaves on the heel of the one who crushed it. Another person said this: to forgive is to set a captive free, only to discover that that captive is me. Forgiveness provides a refreshing shower for the mind and spirit. The softest pillow is a clean conscience. Forgiveness is agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin. Bitterness does more damage where it is stored than to the person on whom it is poured. Bitterness never kills its intended target. Bitterness finally eats the container that it lives in. So how do you battle bitterness? Three things and we'll be done. First of all, you need to confess your bitterness as sin to God, because bitterness is a sin against a holy God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love this verse. My brother calls this his Walmart verse. He said, I go there all the time. This is a great verse for the Christian. And I don't know if you've ever understood this or not before, but it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. You know, a lot of times I'll say, God, I'm sorry I did that. Please forgive me. But I don't have to say, please forgive me, because I'm already forgiven. The moment I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm forgiven of my past, my present, and my future sins. That doesn't give me a license to sin by any means. But as I go to him now as a child of God, I don't have to ask him for forgiveness. I'm already forgiven. But I do have to confess my sin when I do it. And at the moment I confess it, I am forgiven. And that's what this verse teaches. So first of all, confess your sin to God. Secondly, pray for the person who has hurt you or despitefully used you, as the Bible says. And I can tell you this, if you start praying for that person, you'll start feeling sorry for them, and you'll start getting a love for them inside of you that you've never had, because you can't continue to pray for somebody and hate them at the same time. The Bible says in Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Colossians 3:12-13, put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And then thirdly, if possible, go to that person and talk to them about it. That's what the Bible teaches. Matthew 5:23 says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, there remembers that brother hath aught against thee. Leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift." You know what? A lot of times, people that have problems with other people will go to them and they'll say, "I had no idea that you were angry and mad at me." And so here you are losing sleep, and they're sleeping like a baby. They have no idea what is going on. But God says, if possible, go to that person. Maybe a phone call, maybe a letter like I did. If you're like me, I never could talk to my dad, so I wrote him a letter. And God used that. And so, you know what? It's hard to battle bitterness without first tasting the forgiveness of God, which He offers through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, if you're here this morning and you have bitterness in your heart or any other sin for that matter, you've never gotten things right with God, that's what He's waiting for you to do. Confess it as sin to God. And then pray for that person that has harmed you or said something bad about you. And if possible, go to them and make things right with them. Because you want to be right with God, you want to be right with people. And I'll leave you with this. You know, they say you can... Well, I'll tell you this first. There was a man in Africa who went there to be a missionary, and there was a young boy there who had lost his mom and dad, so he adopted this little boy. And when he adopted this little boy, he led him to Christ, and he was trying to teach him how to be a Christian young man. And one day, the little boy had a play sword, and he was out in the yard, and he was fighting with the chickens. Now, his new dad walked out there and said, "Son, don't do that." He said, We're going to use those chickens for eggs, and we might fry one of them boys up one day and eat him, you know. And so don't do that. He said, "Just take your sword and fight with something you can't harm, like a tree or a bush or something like that." And he said, "Okay, Dad." So Dad went back into the hut, and the little boy went right back to fighting the chickens and accidentally killed one of them. Instead of going in the hut and saying, "Dad, I sinned, I disobeyed you," and getting things right with his father, he took that chicken to the edge of the woods. He dug a hole. He buried it. Covered up his steps, and when he turned around, guess who's standing there watching me do the whole deed? Not his dad, but the meanest man in the village. And that mean man in the village said, "What's your Christian daddy going to think about you now, boy?" And he said, "Please, sir, don't tell him." He said, "I'll do anything you ask me to do, but please don't tell my dad." He said, "All right, I'll tell you what." He said, "I wake up in the morning, and I have water and wood beside my hut every morning. I'll keep my mouth shut. I won't say a thing. But I wake up one morning and there's no wood and there's no water. I'm going to tell your dad what you did with that chicken." He said, "You'll have wood and you'll have water, sir." And for 2 weeks solid, he toted wood and toted water and toted wood and toted water till his little heart was about to burst. And one day he just went into the hut and he said, "Dad, you remember the sword and the chicken? You told me not to do it. I did it. I disobeyed you. I'm sorry. I buried him. Please forgive me." And his dad wrapped his arms around him and said, "Son, it's okay. You're forgiven." That little boy walked out of there, and the next day he didn't take any wood and he didn't take any water. That mean old man said, "Where's my wood and where's my water?" And he said, "I'm not doing that anymore." He said, "Well, I'm going to go tell your daddy what you did with that chicken." He said, "You don't have to. Already did, and I'm forgiven." And there's a lot of people toting wood and water they don't have to tote. You know, they say you can catch a raccoon several ways, but one way is to take a block of wood, cut a hole in it, and then nail nails around it, and put bait behind it. And when the little raccoon reaches his hand in there, grabs the bait, when he pulls his hand back, the nails catch him. Now, if he was a smart raccoon, which he's not, he would let it go and he could get his hand out, but he holds on to it. And the harder he holds on to it, the longer he holds on to it, the more trapped he is. And it's the same with bitterness. The longer you hold on to it, the more trapped you become, and God wants you to let it go. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you this question. You here this morning, you have bitterness in your heart? Or is there any other sin that you need to confess before God? If you'd say, "Brother Bruce, God spoke to my heart this morning. Would you pray for me?" You just lift your hand, I'll pray for you. Anybody this morning, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands here and there. Father, you see these hands that are raised this morning. And Father, only you know what the need is. And I pray that you'd meet that need according to your will. God, help us as Christians especially not to have bitterness and anger in our heart towards anybody. Father, because you've forgiven us, help us to forgive others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor.
All right, we have about 10 minutes to our morning service. We're going to have a little break, and we'll let young people, if you need to go to the restroom, go quickly and come right back here for your morning service. The young people are going to be staying with us this morning for the service. We're glad to have them. We're going to have lots more music this morning. It's going to be a blessing to you. And Brother Fry is going to preach to you from the Word of God. If you have your parents or grandparents here, I'd encourage you to go sit with them when you come back. So you can go use the restroom, come back and sit with your parents or grandparents. If you know some of these little ones out here, folks, invite them to sit with you. Just take one or two. You guys sat real good for Sunday school, didn't they? They did a great job. And I appreciate that so much, and I hope that you'll do the very same thing for our morning service. But you know, they feel like big stuff if you'll invite them to sit with you. They feel real important. So would you just grab a couple kids and sit with them, and we'll just spread them out, and we'll have a good time in church this morning. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Good to have Mrs. Spong back. We're so glad. Her tests were negative on Friday. We praise the Lord for that, and so we're glad to see her. Good to have Philip back. Philip all the way from Korea visiting with us. And how long are you here for, Philip? About a month. All right, he'll be here about a month. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the good message this morning. And we're sometimes just not aware of what it is that's destroying our lives, but often it's bitterness. And we pray that you'd help us to let it go and trust in the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless our little break. And Lord, we're looking forward to a great morning service. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you are dismissed.